From Covenant of Grace Church in St. Charles, Missouri, here's Dr. Van Lees.
John Wesley recorded in his journal, said, "Today I visited one who was ill in bed. She had buried 7 of her family in 6 months and had just heard that her beloved husband was cast away at sea. I asked, 'Don't you fret at any of these things?' She answered with a loving smile on her pale cheeks, 'Oh no, how can I fret at anything which is in the will of God? Let him take all besides, he has given me himself.'" An amazing statement of faith.
Grace is God's loving favor given to those he saves. We don't deserve it, nor can we earn it. But if we are to live eternally with Christ, we must depend totally on God's grace. Welcome to God's Amazing Grace, the radio outreach ministry of Covenant of Grace Church in St. Charles, committed to growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. This week, Dr. Van Lees comes to the message we've entitled, God's Omnipresent. Have you ever known someone who seems so busy that you think to yourself, wow, this person is everywhere? Of course, we know that no one person can be at all places at all times, but there is one who can. Today, we'll study the omnipresence of God and the peace that we can have in knowing this. The scripture text for today's message is Psalm 139, verses 1 through 12. Here once again is Dr. Van Lees with today's edition of God's Amazing Grace, we've entitled God's Omnipresence.
Turn with me to Psalm 139. Last week we looked at God's omniscience from this psalm. And this morning we're going to look at the idea of God's omnipresence from the same psalm. And let's begin in verse 1 and read through verse 12. "O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou dost know when I sit down and when I rise up. Thou dost understand my thought from afar. Thou dost scrutinize my path and my lying down, and art intimately acquainted with all my ways. Even before there is a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, Thou dost know it all. Thou hast enclosed me behind and before, and laid Thy hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, it is too high, I cannot attain to it. Where can I go from Thy Spirit, and where can I flee from Thy presence? If I ascend to heaven, Thou art there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, Thou art there. If I take the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there Thy hand will lead me, and Thy right hand will lay hold on me. If I say, surely the darkness will overwhelm me, and the light around me will be night, even the darkness is not dark to Thee, and the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are alike to Thee." J.I. Packer writes in the preface of his book, Knowing God, that two trends have produced the church's weakness today. Trend one is that Christian minds have been conformed to the modern spirit, the spirit that is that which spawns great thoughts of man and leaves room for only small thoughts of God. The modern way with God is to set Him at a distance, if not to deny Him altogether. And the irony is that modern Christians, preoccupied with maintaining religious practices in an irreligious world, have themselves allowed God to become remote. Churchmen who look at God, so to speak, through the wrong end of the telescope, so reducing Him to pygmy proportions, cannot hope to end up as more than pygmy Christians. And clear-sighted people naturally want something better than this. Packer states that the second trend is that Christian minds have been confused by the modern skepticism. In the last few weeks, we've been considering various attributes of God in our sermons, and my goal in these sermons is that as a church, we would have a greater sense of the glory of God, and consequently, that this greater understanding and awareness of God's glory and majesty would affect our Christian living and who we are as God's people. Packer says that seeing and understanding God in pygmy proportions leads to pygmy Christians. And I think he is right. Our worship, our passion for God, our trust in him, our desire to obey, in fact, every aspect of our Christian living are either diminished or enhanced by our understanding and grasp of who God is and what he is like. And if you have a very meager understanding of the nature and attributes of God, you will have a very meager Christian life. It will affect your worship, your service, your prayer life, everything you do. If your understanding of God is increasingly growing, increasingly being conformed to Scripture, then that also will have an effect on every aspect of your Christian living. Well, this morning we're going to consider God's omnipresence, the fact that God is everywhere and that we are always immediately in the full presence of God. This passage in Psalm 139 declares that God is omnipresent. In verse 7 and following, "Where can I go from thy spirit, or where can I flee from thy presence? If I ascend to heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, thou art there." And David says, wherever I go, I'm in the presence of God. If I try to hide from him, he's there. If I try to be in the darkness, darkness is like light to God. David proclaims that wherever he would go, he is always in God's presence. There is no place where he is outside the full and immediate presence of God. That God is omnipresent means that we are always in his presence. It does not mean that part of God is at one place in his universe and another part of him is somewhere else, like he's kind of just spread out through the universe. But rather it means that we are always in the full presence of God wherever we are. It means that God is fully present in the totality of his being simultaneously in every part of his universe. And thinking of God's omnipresence, it's important to maintain two concepts in order to avoid heresy. First of all, the creator-creation distinction must be maintained. While God is personally present and active everywhere in his universe, while he is immanent, he is distinct from creation. And the reason it is important to maintain this distinction is that some have argued that since God is everywhere, then he is actually one with the universe. This falls into the heresy of pantheism, that God and the universe are the same. However, God is separate from his creation. When we consider the holiness of God and think about his majestic holiness, we see that God is transcendent over creation. Of course, God is also eminently present with creation, but distinct from it. The other error that we have to avoid is not to associate the omnipresence of God with an impersonal moving force in the world, with somehow the world being his body. God is not the impersonal force of Star Wars. God is personal. If you fall into this error, that leads to pantheistic process theology. God is personally present everywhere, and he is also separate from his creation. Scriptures that speak of God's coming and going are simply describing God manifesting his power and his presence at particular times. A third important point concerning God's omnipresence is that this attribute is unique to God. This characteristic of omnipresence is not possessed by any created being. This is why the idea of saints hearing the prayers of Christians are being actively present in numerous places at the same time is so abhorrent to Scripture. For someone to hear hundreds or thousands of prayers at the same time, he would have to be omniscient and omnipresent. And those are two attributes that belong to God alone. They are never shared with the creature. When Jesus speaks of being with us always, even to the end of the world, that is a reference to his divine nature, his deity, not his human nature. What are some of the applications of this, that God is omnipresent with us? How does this affect us in our Christian living? There are many applications, but let me focus on two of them. First, it is a doctrine of great comfort for the Christian. David says that wherever he goes, God is with him. God is always with you. He never leaves you. He never forsakes you. In the book of Hebrews, in Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6, this application is made. Let your character be free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you, so that we confidently say, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid, what shall man do to me? We don't have to worry about things in this life in terms of the material realm because God is with us. We're not to be afraid of other people because God is with us. You go through your daily life, you are always in God's presence. When you pray, you can rest assured that you are addressing the full and complete presence of God, that He is there to hear you, to comfort you, to support you, that you are never forsaken or cast out of His presence. The same is true when you worship or when you're going about your everyday life. This has been an important comfort for Christians down through church history, from missionaries to the average believer dealing with struggles in the daily life. David Livingstone spoke of God's omnipresence as a source of great encouragement. In 1896, Glasgow University conferred on the famous missionary the degree of Doctor of Laws. And as Livingstone rose to speak, he was received with respectful silence. He was gaunt and haggard as a result of hardships in tropical Africa. His left arm, which had been crushed by a lion, hung helplessly at his side as he announced his resolve to return to Africa without misgiving and with great gladness. He added, "Would you like me to tell you what supported me through all the years of exile among a people whose language I could not understand and whose attitude toward me was often uncertain and often hostile? It was this, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. On these words I staked everything, and they never failed." He was sustained in his endeavors, in his hardships, by a sense that God was with him. Hebrews 13:6, so that we may confidently say, "The Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What shall man do to me?" Psalm 23:4, that loved psalm, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." This means that God is present and active in your life. Whatever trial or struggle you face, you never face it alone. If you're dealing with sickness, financial setbacks, family problems, job difficulties, whatever it would be, God is with you. In terms of God's providence in your life, remember that nothing touches you that does not first go through the hand of God. We think about those great promises in Scripture, like, "Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." Or in Romans 8:28, where God says that He causes all things to work together for good to those who love Him, to those who are called according to His purpose. I've mentioned that that particular promise presupposes that God is all-powerful and sovereign over all this creation, or He couldn't make that promise. He was just partially sovereign. He could say, chances are things will work together for good, but there might be some little something that would intervene and mess it all up. I'll do my best. But since God is all-powerful, He can make that promise, and it is true. It also presupposes that He is all-knowing and all-present. That He knows what's going on in your life, and He is there actively to affect every detail of your life. To work every aspect, every nuance of what you experience around for your good. And ultimately, that you would be conformed to the image of Christ. Do you ever have those times of struggle in your life when God feels very distant, very far away? Perhaps you're going through a time of grief, of sorrow, a physical sickness, and God just seems to be a long way off. You're going through some problem or pain in your life, and you're not very aware of God's presence. You know what I'm talking about? The doctrine of God's omnipresence is very practical at those times. And even though you may not have a conscious awareness of the presence of God, He is still there. He hasn't forsaken you. You can still trust Him. And even in the midst of your pain and your struggles, He is there. And He is active. For more than 50 years, John Wesley, the great English preacher and missionary of the 18th century, said that he heeded the command of Psalm 37:1, "Do not fret because of evildoers, do not be envious toward wrongdoers." And he correlated it with Romans 8:28, that God causes all things to work together for good, for His people, for those who are called of God, for those who love Him. And he said that he attributed much of his spiritual strength and freedom from worry to a reliance on God's sustaining grace and overruling providence. It's interesting, Wesley trusted in the sovereign providence of God, even with his other issues of Arminianism in his life. He said, 10,000 cares trouble me no more than 10,000 hairs upon my head, of which God knows all. Yes, I feel certain things, and at times may even grieve over them, but I fret at nothing. And he always delighted in those who would cling to God in that kind of faith. And he recorded in his journal, he said, "Today I visited one who was ill in bed. She had buried 7 of her family in 6 months and had just heard that her beloved husband was cast away at sea. I asked, 'Don't you fret at any of these things?' She answered with a loving smile on her pale cheeks, 'Oh no, how can I fret at anything which is in the will of God? Let Him take all besides, He has given me Himself. I have learned to love and praise Him every moment.'" An amazing statement of faith and of the sustaining grace of God. But ultimately, we should thank God for what this woman mentioned, that He has given us Himself. That we who were once children of wrath, separated from God, have been called out of darkness, have a relationship with God, that we who were dead in sin have been made alive by His sovereign work, and that we have redemption in Christ, that we belong to Him. Think about how death has touched every one of us. And death has come into the world because of sin. And one day, in God's final and complete redemption, all of that will be ended. And the former things will have passed away. And we will be in the glory of His presence and enjoy Him. That's your destiny. That's your sure future if you're in Christ. Right now, we have an awareness through Scripture and through the revelation of God's Word that God is present with us. But one day, we will see Him and be in His manifested glory. And as you think about giving thanks to God this year, not only thank God for the past, but thank Him for the future that lies before you. God's presence is also a motivation against sin. This is an important application of this truth and a strong reason why it is important to cultivate an awareness of God's presence in our thinking. Remember that when you sin, you are always in the immediate and full presence of God. Charles Spurgeon, in commenting on this, said, "I have known a man who was once stopped from an act of sin by there being a cat in the room. He could not bear even the eyes of that poor creature to see him." Swearer? Could you swear if you could see God's eyes looking at you? Thief, drunkard, harlot? Could you indulge in your sins if you saw His eyes on you? Well, I think they would startle you and bid you pause before you did in God's own sight rebel against His law. And the typical Spurgeon pithiness there. I think he's right. If you had an awareness of God's eyes on you at every moment, how would it affect you in terms of the temptation that's set before you? The next time you are struggling with some temptation, remember that you are in God's presence. For the Christian, however, the presence of God is not a source of terror. It does not produce a fear of final judgment. Rather, it is a source of comfort and assurance, a sense that God's eye is upon me, He has redeemed me, He holds me in His hand, I know I'm forgiven and belong to Him. 2 years ago, Albert Speer was interviewed about his last book on ABC's Good Morning America. Remember Albert Speer? He was the Hitler confidant whose technological genius was credited with keeping the Nazi factories running during the World War II, during the bombings. And he was the only one of 24 war criminals to admit his guilt. And Speer spent 20 years in Spandau prison. The interviewer, David Hartman, referred to a passage in one of Speer's earlier writings, and he said, "You have said that the guilt can never be forgiven or shouldn't be. Do you still feel that way?" Speer's face grew dark as he responded and said, "I served a sentence of 20 years. I could say I'm a free man. My conscience has been cleared by serving the whole time as punishment. But I can't do that. I still carry the burden of what happened to millions of people during Hitler's lifetime. I can't get rid of it." Hartman pressed the point, "You really don't think you'll ever be able to clear it totally?" Speer shook his head. "I said, I don't think it's possible." The ABC interview was his last public statement. He died shortly after. The only way it's possible for any of us to be free from sin, to be free from guilt, to be truly forgiven, is for that sin to be paid for completely. And that's the gospel, that Christ is our substitute. And God's presence for you as a child of God is a comforting presence, that you are forgiven, you are cleansed, you belong to Him. Romans 5:8 declares that God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Is the presence of God a source of joy and comfort to you? Because you know you are in His favor, that you are in Christ. Or is the presence of God a source of terror to you because you know that God is present in all of your sin and will ultimately judge your sin? If you're not in Christ, throw yourself on Him, trust in Him, rely upon His work. If you do belong to Jesus, think about what has been done for you, for God's salvation, and for His constant providence and care in your life. And think about the future that is set before you, that one day all of us who are in Christ will see Him, be in His full manifested presence in glory.
We can know the peace of God, knowing that He is not only able to be with us at all times and in all places, but that He has promised us that He would be. For an audio copy of today's broadcast, ask for the message entitled, God's Omnipresence. Our mailing address is God's Amazing Grace, 1111 Moogie Road, St. Charles, Missouri, 63303. Or call 636-447-5691. That's 636-447-5691. God's Amazing Grace is the radio ministry of Covenant of Grace Church in St. Charles. Dr. Van Lees is our pastor teacher. The church is located at 1111 Moogie Road. You're invited to worship with us on Sunday mornings at 11. Sunday school for adults and children begins at 10, with a Sunday evening Bible study at 6:30. The goal of Covenant of Grace Church is to glorify God in making disciples by teaching and equipping the saints and being salt and light in our community and our world. To learn more about Covenant of Grace Church, call the church office at 636-447-5691 or visit us online at covenantofgracechurch.org. And once again, for a copy of today's broadcast, request the message entitled, God's Omnipresence. Our address is God's Amazing Grace, 1111 Moogie Road, St. Charles, Missouri, 63303. Or call 636-447-5691. You may also hear today's message over the internet anytime. Just log on to our Real Audio website at accradio.com. Thanks for joining us today, and we invite you back next time when we will once again declare the glory of God's amazing grace.